Welcome to the program. Today we are in John chapter 7. If you have your Bible ready, be a good idea. John chapter 7. I've been through this chapter for about 14 hours now trying to prepare a message for this broadcast, and I've looked at it in several different ways, and I've decided I'm going to start at verse number 1, and we're going to work our way through this chapter and just see what the Lord has for us. So here's a good idea as we do that. There's a hymn that says, "Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me." Before we look at this chapter, seriously, make this your prayer.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
John chapter 7 to verse 37, it says, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now listen to verse 39. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Now, the focus that we have in this chapter is the fact that he wants us to understand that it's focusing on the Holy Spirit. Now, when Jesus died and went back to heaven, he said he would send the Holy Spirit. The Comforter will come, he said. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to verse number 1 and see what we have here in this story. It says in verse 1 of John chapter 7, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, at this portion of the book of John, they're out to kill Jesus. Who is? It says the Jews. Now, when you see that phrase, the Jews, which you'll find 67 times in the book of John, it's referring to the leadership. And if it's otherwise, it's very obvious within the context. But most of the time when it says the Jews, it's referring to the Pharisees and the leaders, the Sadducees, and those in the temple who had positions of the high priest or whatever. So it says here in verse number 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, we have the phrase the Jews 67 times in John. We have the word Jesus 256 times in the book of John. The focus is on the Lord. Well, they sought to kill him. It says in Matthew 26, verse 3, then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people under the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus and kill him. That was what they wanted to do. Luke 22:2 says, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him. John 5:18, the Jews sought the more to kill him. Well, the time was the Feast of the Tabernacle. Verse 2, now the Jews' Feast of the Tabernacle was at hand. Now remember, this was supposed to be the Lord's Feast of the Tabernacle, but that had changed. Like the Passover and all the other feasts, it had become the Jews' Feast. They had taken over everything, and looks like the Laodicean church age we're living in right now, where Jesus said in Matthew, I will build my church, but by the time we get to the Laodicean church, we see it's the pastor's church. The Lord says, I'll remove thy candlestick. Well, there's 7 different feasts that the Lord gave to Israel back way back in the beginning of the book of Genesis and Exodus on through there. And the first one is the Passover, then unleavened bread, the first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the last one on that list was the Feast of the Tabernacles, which is where we are in this story. Now, the Feast of the Tabernacles during the time of Jesus was a season of rejoicing. It was a 7-day celebration, with the 8th day being that great day of the feast. The Jewish expectation was that the Messiah would come and the kingdom would be set up. It's recorded back in Leviticus chapter 23. It was required that Jewish men make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It's back in Deuteronomy 16. You can read that story. They would come and they would build temporary booths all around Jerusalem. In fact, Orthodox Jews will be doing that again in September and October in that area when the Feast of the Tabernacles take place. They still do it today. They build temporary booths and they're to live in them for 7 days. There was a water-drawing ritual that began the festivals every morning. A priest would blow the trumpet, and the priest would exit at that point from the water gate. Now, we've studied before about Nehemiah when they repaired the water gate. That's where this takes place. The priest would come and carry a golden pitcher. He was led by a musical procession to the Pool of Siloam. As they did this, they quoted Isaiah chapter 12, verse number 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the well of salvation. Then, actually, for us today, this is the type of the Holy Spirit, the one true source of all spiritual life. Well, after the temple was destroyed, the rabbis reflected back on when they used to do this, and they said, "He who has not seen the rejoicing at the place of the water drawing has never seen rejoicing in his life." It was a time when it was a very, very happy, exciting, rejoicing time when they got together for the feast of the tabernacle. Well, the priest would then return to the temple with the golden pitcher of water and joined another priest who was carrying the drink offering of wine, and the trumpet was blown three times. Together, the two priests ascended the ramp to the great altar and poured their offering into silver funnels. During this ritual, the people gathered at the temple court and the women sang praises from Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. The Levites standing on the 15 semicircular stairs in the court also sang and played musical instruments. Several priests holding willow branches marched once around the great altar, reciting for all to hear from Psalm 118, verse number 25, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." Following the singing and the chanting, a great silence then descended on the sanctuary. People reflected on their spiritual significance of what they were actually doing here, and the water ritual, what we're talking about here, took place every day, all 7 days of the feast. On the seventh day, it took on an intensity filled with excitement and anticipation. And this last day of the feast, we read, this is where Jesus said in John 7 and 37, it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And so when that time of silence fell on that great congregation there, that's when Jesus stood up and cried with a loud voice, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me." Also, the Feast of Tabernacles involved lights. Each afternoon of the 7 days, the priests and the pilgrims gathered at the court of the women, and four large oil lamps on big pillars were illuminated in the court. Also, every person had a handheld lamp in his hand. The light festival continued all night until the dawn. It is said that the lights could be seen as far away as Galilee when this took place in the night, when all of these lights were lit up. It is thought that perhaps it was at this point that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Well, just think, all of this is wrapped up in that one little verse. "Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacle was at hand." Now the problem is, as we mentioned, it had become the Jews' feast, not the Lord's feast. There he was, right in the middle of everything that's going on, and they rejected him and had nothing to do with the fact they crucified him. Well, back in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14, God said, "Your appointed feast my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear." And so while all these festivals were going on, keep in mind, Jesus did not walk in jewelry because the Jews sought to kill him. In fact, his own brothers, his half-brothers and his family wanted him dead too. We read in verse 3, "His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works which thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, for he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world." They wanted him to go down there. Why? Because he'd get killed. Verse number 5 says, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." Well, the Bible plainly says these things happen unto them, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Jesus said down in verse number 24, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." In verse 31, we read, "And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Verse 32, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Well, one day he's coming back again, and we're all going to face him face to face. One day he's coming back again. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, what will he do with me?
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way.
My passion, self, and pride.